Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
The word of the Lord. Could you still be saying thanks be to God? Maybe, maybe not. We're blessing the school year today. We're invoking the Holy Spirit on the academic year. He went to college for one semester in the fall of 1939 and was hoping to get an internship that was given to somebody else. He was counting on that to fund the next semester. So when it didn't come through, his academic career ended after only one semester. So my dad did what you might do if you could only go to college for one semester and then you had to drop out. That's right. He bought life insurance. We discovered this when he died and we were going through the safe deposit box that when he was 19 years old and couldn't afford tuition, he bought a life insurance policy. He didn't die until he was 76, but when he was 19, he was thinking about the end of his life. It's when we're still little that we learn that the word end has to do with finishing things, right? That comes pretty early, because the day ends and it's time to brush your teeth, get your jammies on. Your show, your cartoons end. That's not very difficult to understand. Kids can understand end. Something is finished. When do you suppose you learned that the word end also is used to describe a goal, a purpose, something that you strive toward to complete that can only be done in the future? It's a little more abstract. Maybe you learned that, I don't know, fifth grade, somewhere along in there. When you begin to think of the end of what you're doing, is anybody here in their first academic quarter? I saw your hand first. Would you stand for a second? What's your name? Lauren. And do you know what you're here to study? Possibly, I think so. That's a good answer. Do you want to tell these people what you think it might be? Earth systems. Woo! Okay. Have you guys met yet? Okay. All right. Do you have a dream attached to that? Can you tell me what your big dream would be when your formal education is complete? To do something to help the environment. All right. How about a hand for courageous Lauren? Thank you. I don't know why he bought life insurance when he did, but I'm trying to put the pieces together, and I think this is what happened. He was born in 1921. And was 8 years old when the stock market crash happened. So from the time he was 8 to the time he was 18, if you count that decade-long depression, he graduated high school in 39. He knew plenty of scarcity. My grandfather, his dad, the man couldn't catch a break. When Prohibition came in, When that got signed into law, what do you suppose he was doing for a living? You're getting ahead of me. He owned a bar. And there was no compensation. You were just out of business. And it was on you to figure out what you're going to do next. So you know what he did next? He bought into a gas station, which burned to the ground. He was out of work for 8 years, at least steady work. My grandmother took in other people's laundry and sewing, and then made the kids all sleep in one room so they could rent out a room to help pay the rent. He got up early in the morning to milk a cow and sell the milk, and then get to school early. It was a Catholic high school, to get there early to sweep the floor as part of his tuition, to be the kind of the janitor. And then after school, he worked at the drugstore for 9 cents an hour. We heard that many times. 9 cents an hour. He knew enough about what he wanted in his future, even after his college dream ended so abruptly. You know what he knew what he wanted, Lauren? He might not have been able, he studied chemistry that one semester, but what he really wanted to do was be a breadwinner. Because in those days, there were very few women that were in college or university, and very few who worked outside the home. It was mostly on the man to bring home the bacon. And he had lived in a house where there wasn't bacon. What he really wanted to be was a husband and a father. That was his dream. The occupation part would be in the service of feeding a family. So what did he do? 6 years before he met his wife? Let me do the math quickly. 8 years before his first child, and 23 years before he met his fifth child, provided for them, bought life insurance, considered the end of his life and the means to an end, the thing that he really wanted, the end of his life, was to have a family. In the gospel today, Jesus, remember, we follow Jesus, and many of us in this room are older than he ever got to be, sometimes by a multiple of his age. He was always a young person because he didn't live out of his youth. And he kept warning the people that followed him, "Are you sure you want to follow me? Do you know the end of this? Do you know where I'm going? And do you know what I'm trying to do? And do you know what it will cost you?" Not everybody did keep following, but many did. One day, as it's recounted in this gospel, somebody spoke up with what's probably a pretty safe thing to say to a teacher. "Give me more." Wise people, don't you think they love having you ask for wisdom from them? He's the teacher, and they say to him, "Give me more faith." And instead of patting them on the head and saying, "Oh, I'm so glad you asked, here's some more faith," what does he say? "If you used what you have, if you used a mustard seed-sized bit of faith, here's what you could do with it. You could say to that tree, 'Be uprooted and thrown into the sea,' and it'd be on its way to doing it." He didn't layer on more faith. He simply said, "I know the faith that's in you." In the second reading today, Paul to Timothy says, "Stir into flame that gift that you were given, that's inside of you. Stir it into flame." There are all kind of gifts that are in us, and even though education looks like it's primarily somebody taking a funnel and pouring stuff into your brain, that's really only a part of it. Because it's what's in you inside that receives any information and any data or any questions, and then you wrestle with it. And it's really the voice of the Spirit somehow that, in your life, Lauren, began looking around at what can I do? I don't know you at all, so I'm only guessing at what your thoughts might have been, but I'm looking around in this world of mine that's in a lot of hurt. What could I do to heal it? What could I do to make sure it continues to be livable for me and other people? Using the gifts that are in us or the questions that are in us and bringing them to the Lord and giving them away, saying, here, this is my life. I want you to have it back. He uses the image of a servant at the end, and I think it's really a continuation of that story about the prodigal son, the wasteful son. There's a lot of commentators that say that story is really kind of misnamed. It really ought to be the over-the-top generous father. You remember in that story, the wasteful child, while he's still away, imagines something that could be different. Maybe the way that my dad imagined his future when he couldn't go back to school. This person in that story says, boy, I'm hungry, and this pig food's starting to look good. And he imagines, I can't go back to my father as his child, but I could go back to him as his servant. Remember? He creates that dialogue in his head and says, treat me as your servant, because I know you treat your servants well. I'd be happy to be just one of them. So Jesus uses this story. He is the beloved son of the Father. He knows how loved he is. But he also knows that he's the servant of his Father, that he's here to do his Father's will, and he knows the dignity that comes with that. He knows that when he poured himself in service to his Father, often for us, he didn't come looking for a pat on the back at the end of the day. He didn't walk in and say, where's my dinner? Jesus is simply saying, when you understand the vocation of servanthood, you don't look for applause. You simply are grateful for having good work to do and good people to do it with, purpose, an end, a life worth waking up for, stuff worth doing. That's what Jesus was trying to teach that day when someone asked an innocuous question that sounded like the teacher's pet, give us more faith. He said, use what you've got. Fan into flame what's already inside of you. So in this liturgy, when we receive the body and blood of the Lord, and we also have a blessing for students at the end of the liturgy, don't think of it as something else being added on, getting one more thing, one more sacrament. Think of it as an opportunity for these graces that come toward you to be that wind that is often associated with the Spirit that fans into flame something that was already inside you that we can't really give you, that God put there to begin with, that then gets blown up into a blaze of glory. I wish for you an academic year that's ablaze with all kind of amazing things, and I wish for you the biggest dream that you can dream, and I especially wish that if it gets thwarted some way, that you have the good sense to figure out another way. That when you can't pay for the tuition, well, you can buy life insurance.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.